Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party. I am your host, Daniel Prue, joined as always by my fellow Strandees, Philip Gilfus and Darren Moser. Hey, guys, you know what I was thinking? We were talking last week about escape rooms. We brought up the topic. And I'm thinking, we've been stranded here on this planet for 50-something episodes
now, right? The ultimate
escape
room. It's our lives.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I don't think we've actually made a lot of efforts to escape. I mean, A, we don't work well together. I think that's been proven. And two, I think we just like to talk about Star Trek instead.
Yeah, it's true.
It does occupy a lot of our time talking about Star Trek.
I mean, it's been over 50 years, and there's a new series on. I mean, who has the time to escape?
clearly not us. I think, you know what? I've done it. I've called in some backup. We need some backup, and we need someone to help us get out of the situation that we found ourselves in. Darren, I think you know someone that can give us a hand.
I do, and Gilligan-esque style, he will only be here this week and then somehow magically transport off next week. But yeah, we called in some backup, my friend Zach Lavoy. Welcome to City Alpha 3. We're so sorry you're stranded here with us.
I mean, like you said, it's only a week. I've got a personal ship in orbit. I'll be all right.
For some reason, we are not allowed on it, but
it's a one-person
ship. I mean, it's, you know.
He's an escape expert. That's why he's going to be able to get out of here in a week. So
escaped expert, ship mysteriously in orbit. It's sounding a lot like Ardra to me.
Watch how his eyes move.
That's a good reference. So, yeah, Zach, welcome to the planet, for your week vacation that we'll be participating in. But
a resort. I did not know.
Yes, it is. Oh, you haven't been out to the back lot,
Just
Darren?
Like Gilligan's Island, right? They turned it into a resort at the end, and then, yeah, it was fine.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're talking escape rooms, and we brought you on the show because you have a little bit of experience with that. Do you want to just give some background
on
that?
Sure, just a tad. So, for about a year now, I've been working at Mindtrap Escape Rooms in Montgomery, Illinois, near where I live. And the experience of running the escape rooms, I would say, is equally entertaining as actually doing an escape room for an activity. It's really interesting to be in my position to watch different groups sort of, you know, solve these puzzles and work together. I constantly tell people, you know, people, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm an escape room game master. And they go, what's that like? And I just kind of stop and I think for a minute. Like, well, you know, it's a little bit like being the Riddler.
Yeah,
I concoct puzzles and death traps, and I put people in them and see if they're smart enough to outwit me.
That's funny. I like that a lot. So there may be listeners out there who aren't exactly familiar. Maybe listeners, maybe half the people on the show who aren't exactly familiar with what an escape room is. Could you kind of distill it down, the basic of just a good definition of exactly what we're talking about?
Are you going to use that safety briefing tone that you do for everyone who comes in?
Right. So an escape room is a 1 hour long, usually, live game where you are placed inside of a room. It could be one room. It could be multiple rooms. And your goal is to solve a series of puzzles in order to find the escape. You're in a live game where you're in a different setting. Some escape rooms are themed around spies. Some escape rooms are themed around ancient Egypt, dinosaurs, you know, space, anything. And you just have to try and solve the puzzles in order to escape.
Full disclosure now, guys. Philip and Darren, who have not actually done an escape
Man,
room.
He's calling us out.
I am. I've only done one, so I
Look,
can't really.
They say those that can't escape run escape rooms.
That's
isn't
why
that
we're
the,
all
isn't
stuck
that
here.
The saying? Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, they're super fun. I'm relatively new to the entire escape room experience. I went, maybe 2 months ago to my first experience, and I very much plan on doing it again. It's super fun. It's basically like Clue in real life, kind of, if you want to think of it that way.
Are there multiple endings after the credits?
Oh,
but So, and then of course I played just this past weekend. I played a card version, a home tabletop version of an escape room. While that's obviously not as exciting or interesting as going to a location obviously centered around it, it does have its own charm and its own sort of dynamics that are interesting. But basically, it's just you go to a place and you try to escape and you try to solve the puzzles. It's super fun. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And I think, I know you two should do it, but I would recommend it, highly recommend it to, you know, anybody out there. It's a lot of fun. It's a really cool way to spend an hour, and you're gonna have some fun. It's gonna be a good time.
Basically, if you enjoy puzzles of any kind, brain teasers, you know, things to really test your intellect, the escape room is perfect for you.
So, like Daniel, as a gamer, and you get that real life experience, what would you compare it to?
Is Shift key involved? I mean, that's all we really want to know.
Well, you know, your mind obviously goes back to classic sort of point-and-click adventures like Monkey Island or Myst or something like that.
I was just going to say Myst is a very apt comparison.
Because it's obviously different when you're there because it's tactile.
You can't look it up on the internet.
You can't. I'm sure Zach will attest to this. You have to give up your phone.
Yes, when
you
do lock your phones away.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it.
Nothing that can connect to the internet, emit light.
See, it's really, it forces you. It forces you to use your intellect and kind of solve it in creative ways. And they are super fun. I really, really had a blast doing it. And I plan on doing many more in the future, as many as possible.
So, Zach, without, you know, spoilers or trade secrets or anything, what would be some classic puzzle examples?
Math puzzles, logic puzzles. We have, I think I can give this away without it being a spoiler, in one of our escape rooms, there is a logic puzzle involving orders of colored blocks. And so you have to place these blocks in the right order in order to get the last item you need to escape. And so, you know, logic puzzles, math puzzles. There are, I guess I want to call them physics puzzles. In one of our rooms, there is, this might be too much of a spoiler. Actually, I better pull back on that one. As I was about to say it, I was like, that's just kind of giving away the whole puzzle. So I'm gonna roll that one back.
So, I mean, I'm trying to imagine it, like, in a video game setting or whatever, but, like, how do you know what puzzle to do? Is there, like, written instructions or, like, a voice from above? Or...
So, basically, when a guest comes into, at least our escape rooms, I walk them back to the escape room, I explain the rules of the game, I explain their objective, you know, you have to find this item in order to escape, or, you know, the killer's coming back in an hour, you have to escape before he gets back, and then, really, the clues are kind of out in the open for, like, the beginning clues, stuff that, like, is simple. You know, a Morse code decoding sheet might be out in the open, for example. And then you have to, realize somewhere there's Morse code. I have to translate it at some point.
Haven't you ever seen a jailbreak when you...
But yeah, we do give audio clues. At our establishment, we use walkie-talkies. We give a group a walkie-talkie, and we watch on the monitors, and we see how they're progressing. And if we notice, hey, they're stuck at this certain part, the clue that we give them will be like, hey, you need to do this in order to, you know, finish what you're working on there. It is the policy of our escape room. We give 3 clues for the hour, one at 45 minutes, one at 30 minutes, and one at 15 minutes. Sometimes if we notice that groups are really stuck and they're not making good progress, we might offer a bonus clue for something embarrassing, like making them sing or dance or be goofy or whatever.
That's funny.
It is very entertaining. I mean, I had a group come in on St. Patrick's Day last year who had been pre-gaming at the pub next door. And so for fun, I made them dance the Irish jig to get their clue.
That's good.
And that's true. You mentioned, you know, a group. I don't know if we've actually spoken the fact that it's usually not just a single person in the escape room. It's usually a team of people. So you have competing, you know, who rises as the leader and who rises as, you know, the finder. And I mean, I know people who do it with people they know as well as like strangers. And I'm sure it gives a wide range of dynamic of what you get when you put a bunch of people in a locked room and tell them to get out.
Absolutely. It does help if you go in with a big enough group of people that you know, because you kind of are used to that dynamic. You say, okay, you know, Darren, you're good at finding things. You go see what you can find in the you know, cabinets and the whatever. So when you work with a dynamic that you're familiar with, it goes pretty smoothly. And sometimes it can go smoothly with a dynamic of strangers, absolutely. We had, just this afternoon, one of my kidnapped escape room groups was three groups of two, and none of them knew each other. Just, they all randomly booked groups of two. And so when I, you know, gave
them... The seldom used triple date.
It was, yeah, it was very bizarre. And so I just kind of was like, okay, guys, you know, I'm going to go take, with kidnapped, our kidnapped room, one person actually gets placed in a jail cell, a 3x3x8 foot high cell. And so then I come back and I say, okay, now you guys, you know, while I take this person to cell, talk with each other, get to know each other. You're going to be working together for the next hour. So, you know, make nice, because otherwise it's going to get real awkward real fast. But you can really just sort of, you can just sign up and get paired with random people. And usually that works out. You know, you might not escape, but at least... You know, you're trying.
Having fun.
Yeah, having fun. That is when my boss hired me on and he was kind of explaining everything. He said, listen, I don't care if they escape. I don't care if they don't escape. The only thing I care about is that they have fun. So make it fun. If you see that they're having trouble, offer them that bonus clue. If you see that they're moving super fast, maybe, you know, let them ask you for a clue if they think they need it. Like, the whole... process is kind of a little bit of like wait and see sometimes, where it's like, okay, this group is moving super fast, they've gotten it to this point within the first 10 minutes, they're on track to escape, like, pull back the control reins and just let them kind of do their thing. And then other times you have groups that are just hopeless and it's just like, okay guys, I'm gonna try and help you, I guess.
Try opening the brick. The key's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting you said that your title, Zach, is a game master.
I know. I just have to say that, Darren.
There's a ton of parallels you can see with, like, D&D or, like, role-playing. I mean, you are literally guiding a party in an adventure, except for the adventure doesn't go anywhere. They're just in a room. But, yeah, it's very similar in, you know, how much to... Because you're the sight unseen, and you're like you said, you're giving clues and you're giving hints.
Yeah, I'm
the
unseen.
Sometimes it's very
hand.
Obvious, and sometimes it's not. So,
yeah, and that is how my boss kind of described it. He's like, you know, do you play video games? I said, only every minute of every hour of every day. he's like, well, think of this as a live action video game. Your goal as the game master is to get these groups to have their fun and to make sure that they can explore as much of the room as possible. He's like, ideally by a certain point in their time, we want them in this part of the room. Try and facilitate that to the best of your ability. And I was like, okay, sure, no problem. And you know, it was a little bit of trial and error. It took me probably about 2-3 weeks to really kind of get comfortable with my position, just because there were things I would do where it was like, I didn't recognize that, hey, this group is having trouble. So I would only offer them their clues at the designated times. I wouldn't pipe in with bonus clues. And so it took a little bit of, like, finesse to sort of realize, yeah, I have to read their expressions over the cameras and see, okay, they're slumped down in a corner. They're not having a good time. I got to fix that.
Right.
Yeah.
So would we have to call our escape room organization the Gamesters of Triskelion? And then at the beginning, wager Quatloos on each group before they went in.
No, I don't think we'll do that.
I think we absolutely have to do that, Daniel.
I'm not going anywhere until I get my 600 Quatloos.
They've been transferred to your account now. There you go.
Unless this is going to be more of a move along home construct, Daniel.
Oh, God.
Well, okay, so that's okay. That brings us into, so now that everybody's kind of caught up to speed with what an escape room is and how it works, we're going to put it into a Star Trek context. And by the way, I fully expect this to be implemented in this year's Star Trek Vegas convention and all years following, because why would they not do this?
Be surprised if they did set something up like that, because considering how escape rooms have been growing over the past couple of years, it just seems like a no-brainer to have a Trek escape room at Vegas.
You just need someone to just actually set it up and just do it.
Yeah. I mean, man, well, I guess it'd probably be, if you weren't like a, anyways, doesn't matter. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about, let's put this into a Star Trek context, guys. We are actually going to create a Star Trek escape room right now. Now, there are many
ways to
do this.
Fire up the holodeck.
That's the first and easiest and most obvious way to do it. Is that how we want to do it? Do we want this to be a holodeck simulation? Do we want this to be a holodeck simulation gone wrong? Or do we want this to be a sort of queue scenario where somebody's literally just playing with you? What mystery would you want to solve?
I mean, my first suggestion is to start sort of at a general audience perspective. So, you know, could be some diehard Trekkers, could be some people who just know Kirk, Tribbles, Picard, Worf, something. So I would I don't know, Zach, if you have levels of rooms, but this would be the cadet
and sort of
class.
Do. With our three rooms, we have what we call our fairly easy room, and that one has a 32% success rate. We have our intermediate room, which is a 20% success rate, and then we have our hard room, which is an 18% success rate.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's interesting.
Never quote me odds. Oh, sorry, wrong franchise.
I would say, the pro and con with doing it as a holodeck, my first thought, Daniel, is if it's a stuck in the holodeck, it kind of builds a natural, I guess, theme for the game master to pipe in, because they could be a technician who's outside working and trying to fix it. So when they're offering clues and things like that, I'm thinking a lot of like when Data was stuck in the holodeck with Moriarty and they're like trying to break him out. You know,
or even like more that. Of like when Worf's brother. I know it's a horrible episode.
Oh, still, yeah,
Worf's brother, and you had LaForge.
The sign of LaForge, yeah,
exactly.
So I mean, I'm not saying I'm opposed to doing a holodeck, but I'm just saying if the whole escape room is wrapped within the lens of we're on the holodeck, it does lend itself to fans to think, okay, obviously I can't just call for the Arch; it's broken; it's not going to come. Or oh,
yeah.
But I can talk to crewman Daniels, whoever is outside trying to fix it, and they can. That's where you can use that as a vessel to offer clues or things like that. But they still have to play out the rest of the scenario.
I like that idea because you can work in the science of the holodeck into the puzzles, and by that I mean you could have. Earlier I mentioned there's a logic puzzle involving colored wooden blocks. You could just extend that logic puzzle and say, here are a series of isolinear chips that need to be placed in a certain order.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the tech lends itself really well to the puzzles.
You don't have to do it at Data speed level.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's true.
Even drunken
well,
Data
some,
speed level.
There's some Voyager holodeck episodes where they have to go to a certain spot and they know, this room's access panel is behind the mirror, and then there's like a bunch of 24th century tech right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's
well I'm almost thinking, and I don't know, Zach, if there's a tutorial element in the beginning of escape rooms, like, you know, an easy or a gimme or whatever, but I'm thinking like the construct could be you're going to the holodeck and it's like a holodeck program of whatever, and pick something, and like it's like an escape room, or you know, it's something like you already have, mm-hmm. but it's in the holodeck. And so, like, there's some gimme things. Oh, you got this right. You got this right. And then, like, at the sort of like the second or third gimme, it suddenly just like, oh no, you know, this comes over the loudspeakers. We're losing power in the holodeck, or you know, we're under attack by the Klingon, or whatever. And so suddenly, then it turns into damaged holodeck. And so you sort of have that comfort, and then it sort of like turns into more. The holodeck is now breaking up or breaking down or it's going to explode or something.
That, as a theme, interests me. And sometimes there are escape rooms with just a very generic escape the room kind of theme. Some use the veneer of like, oh, it's a Sherlock Holmes mansion. You have to, you know, find your way out of it or whatever. But the idea, the theme is still very generic. You could do something like that and start it out as like, oh, yes, this is the holodeck program of Moriarty's house where, you know, blah, 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 blah. You have to figure out where he hid his manifesto. I don't know. And then, yeah, in the middle of it, you could do something, you know, bring the lights down, make the lights flicker, say, oh, we're losing power. You know, you guys won't be able to manually access the arch to get out. You're going to have to find those hidden, you know, like you were talking about those hidden pieces of 24th century tech to make your escape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting concept, too, because whatever, you know, frame you give it, like you mentioned, the whole Sherlock theme or whatever.
We're doing that. It's locked in. Go.
All right. Fine. That's fine. I'm cool with it. Like, for example, when I did the room that I went to, there was towards the end of the puzzle, there was room, I should say. There was a secret hidden smaller room inside of the bigger room. And yeah.
I mean, Jeffrey's Tube.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's Tube. Yep. You could easily layer It would. The context would layer those puzzles in a way that you don't know if it's part of the quote unquote the simulation or part of quote unquote the actual holodeck. So you kind of have to mix and match those different puzzle pieces together based on the context of how you're getting them. So like, oh yeah, maybe the holodeck is malfunctioning, and you know, you throw in some crazy wild twist or something like that. But that'd be really interesting. I think that'd be.
And cool. Then Zach, are the clues and puzzles and et cetera, is it like A leads to B leads to C, or could someone like go from A and then like find L and then go to Z?
Sometimes,
and like you're done.
We have rooms that are linear in nature, where it's like, okay, everything in this part of the room is only for this part of the room. It's not going to help you in the next part. But then sometimes we have rooms where it's like, for example, our Dr. Death escape room is 5 to 6 rooms. You will absolutely find things in room number 4 that is meant to help you in the first room, but you won't be able to get to it right away. So that question, to answer your question with a question, would we want our Trek room to be a linear or non-linear experience?
I feel for the general, I don't mean to be, but for the general one, like, we can go crazy.
I mean, are the prophets running it or not? That's really what we got to know.
Well, I was just going to say, if we're talking Moriarty, we could go, I mean, if you really wanted to mess with people's head, you could go, what's the last Moriarty episode?
Ship in a bottle.
Well, you could go ship in a bottle with it and really mess with people.
Are we still on the holodeck? I don't even know.
That three-fourths, and I know that maybe that doesn't really work like this, but in my brain, three-fourths of the way, they think they're done. And they're not.
Oh.
And so, like, oh, yeah, you've repaired it. And then, like,
the arch appears,
oh, wait.
And then they walk out, and then it's like, oh, wait, we're actually still not escaped. And now you're, like, in a section of hallway or something that you have to escape from. And
that
force
would
fields.
Be absolutely entertaining.
Trek fans
like
would love
it.
Well, think of it meta. Like, if you, and I'm sure just logistically, the hour time period was chosen for a specific reason. It's got to be stuck to for scheduling and all that sort of thing. Let's say that you put somebody in this room and you say you have an hour to figure this out, but you obviously change the timer. So it's actually only 45 minutes so that these people the time goes a little faster than what they're, but they don't pay attention.
Star Trek games never do that, Daniel. Never.
So then, you know, if they manage to do it, you're like at the like you say, Philip, in the last quarter of it, they're like, oh, by the way, this is actually not really the final puzzle. There's another puzzle you have to
do. Oh, it could be like an option B, like, you know, depending upon your group, like, you know, they're going, you know, warp speed on this thing. They're like 30 minutes in, they're going close. You're like, all right, hit the plan B red button. You know, we're going second level. Versus, like, someone who's, like, you know, slower group, and you're like, all right, well, they're just going to stick with plan A. They got out.
Right, and then, I see. So then them getting out is the actual ending if they aren't doing as well, but they get the bonus ending if they are early enough in finishing it. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That way you get, you know, you pay your hours worth, you get your hours, you know, whatever, entertainment. Just for this first one that we're talking about, holodeck, I'm hearing 24th century. Is there any particular sounds or themes? Are we doing a TNG or just general 24th century?
I think general,
you know, like
TNG
early
holodeck.
Voyager, mid DS9.
I think TNG holodeck, just because, well, one, I mean, I like TNG the best, and and the grid line is so recognizable. Like, the holo suites that we see later on, like, you wouldn't necessarily instantly know that's a holodeck. My thought is, like, have a small antechamber that's like the rules chamber, and it's like, you know, maybe 10
Arch.
Feet square, and that is the grid line. And then what you do is they call for the arch, and they step through the arch into the actual escape room. So you feel
this
like
could be
you're
the,
in there.
This could be the Enterprise E version. It could be in the privacy antechamber,
yes.
Where you do the rules.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that was going to come up at some time.
Cool. I like it. Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, any specific. So, okay. I mean, so we get the. We're going with Moriarty. Yeah. So you're entering into Sherlock Holmes. You know, you're given this, like, you have to find whatever. I like that. We're going with Moriarty's Manifesto. I like that, Zach. We'll go with that. And you get 1 or 2, 3. You know, you find this, and then suddenly power goes out, you know, over the speakers, like, you know, we're experiencing power issues or whatever, warp core we're going to breach. Because I can then think of different things. And again, Zach, I don't know if this is logical or not to actually how it would work. But, like, you know, oh, life support's failing. You have to, you know,
It's gonna fail in 60 minutes exactly.
And then the power. You know, you have to fix these to get the door to open, and then you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah. With how certain escape rooms have their puzzles laid out, you could do something with a magnetic lock or a magnetic kind of release, and you could say something, you know, like, oh, you have to, you know, over here is you know, the random stockpile of dilithium crystals. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Don't worry. We'll fill it in post-production.
Yeah, it'll be fine. You have to find the dilithium crystal that's actually got a charge in it to place into the, you know, alcove on the wall that will, you know, and then, you know, of course, inside the crystal's the magnet, which causes the magnetic lock to open or what have you. Yeah.
I do like it because then, like, you have a Jeffrey's tube. Obviously, it'd be probably a little bit bigger than it is on the show, just to allow people of all shapes and sizes to get into. But, you know, you go down, and then there's this other mini room where it's like, I don't know, power control or sub-power control to the holodeck or whatever. And then, yeah.
Yeah, because then you could abandon the whole Sherlock theme and then put it into an actual Star Trek context as well. And play with two different types of puzzles, you know, as it were. You know, I guess it would be more theme, just more thematic. You know, the elements are different. Like, you're dealing with, when you're in there under the Moriarty guys, you're dealing with wooden boxes and that sort of thing. And then when you go to the Star Trek element, you just put everything Star Trek flavored, and then there you go.
One question for the Moriarty theme: would we want to have a planted person inside who's like a holodeck character who basically is? It, like, they don't realize, like, they're not self-aware, like, they're just what are you talking about, you know, blah blah blah, and they're no help at all.
I like where you're going with this.
An NPC,
but I don't know if I would necessarily go with no help at all. I think some help, like let's say we get the maid. It was Moriarty's maid,
right?
And you know, ma'am, you know, we're looking for Moriarty's manifesto.
That's true. So she can help within the context of the story, but not
if you ask the right questions.
Right, but not the 24th century stuff. That's what I meant.
Like, yeah, she
has no idea
something...
what an isolinear converter is.
Exactly.
What witchcraft is that?
If you try to ask her anything about 24th century text, she's just going to look at you blankly. But, you know, you say something like, you know, we're looking for Moriarty's writings. Oh, well, I believe the master had some stuff in his desk.
That's true, because that's one of their other... Because that's usually one of the other options in a holodeck stuck scenario is to finish the program. That's usually the goal. So part of it is they're trying to just get out, but they also want to just... The other way to get out is to just finish the routine and it will auto-close.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I like that idea. Like, you have to... like, the clues will lead you to the right question or whatever, or the right scenario, and you have to say... you gots, I know what to do, and then you go...
What episode
had I can almost see do one of two ways. Like, so now I'm building the outline in my head. So, like, you know, it starts off Moriarty, then it goes into holodeck trouble, again, whatever that is.
Right.
And then two options. You could either, A, in our you know, auxiliary room, you could either have to, you could, not that you have to, but you could split the party where, like, it only holds two people or something. And then those two people have to be doing X, and then the other three people are still looking for Y. Or you can move everyone to the other room where they're working on the Star Trek problem. And then it goes to what y'all are saying. Oh, you know, we figured it out. All you have to do is finish the story and maybe go back to finding, you know, Moriarty's men. So you go back in, and then that's when she can be helpful again.
What if we did both? You make them have to split up, and someone has to be pushing a button in this auxiliary room when you finish the scenario. Because the problem with... fixing
the walkie-talkie
things,
comm badges they'll all have.
Well, but the trick is when you're trying to fix something in 24th century, that's very difficult because how do you do that where it's like, oh, well, I mean, that it's not very tactile. It's like, oh, I did it on the computer, but, you know.
Well, like I said, the isolinear chips or.
Oh, the isolinear chips is a good one, yeah.
And then, I mean, I'm thinking of ways where it could be tactile because, you know, again, like, the computer's gone crazy, so it's not going to be a
thing. That's true. Okay, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. If you limit them enough where they can't just call up the information, you know, they have to...
EPS conduits, you have to...
That's true. Physically reconnecting EPS. Those things are always going on the fritz, so...
Yeah.
rocks fall down from the ceiling because it's Star Trek.
I was trying to think of the episode it reminded me of, and it's the... I remember Shear, yeah. where he's stuck in the holodeck program, and his answer is to destroy the world and end it, because they have to end it within a certain amount of time. So that's, you know, I like the thought of, like, again, with the Moriarty, you know, which we could do something different, but that's kind of the most comfortable known, you know, and it's easy to
dress. Because I can see the interesting build of the room, because you would basically, I mean, I'm saying this generically, you'd build the room as the holodeck, then you would cover it up with the Moriarty stuff, but it would be breakable, or not modular items, you know, pull this away and it's suddenly, you know, this transistor or EPA, like we said earlier. Right. And so you could have the lights going out. Like I said, the maid would be freaking out, you know, when suddenly, like, this portion falls. I know, you know, safety.
How cool
course,
would it
but...
be if you painted, like, a corner of the ceiling with the grid line, but it was, like, that kind of paint that only shows up with black light? And so you have, like, a black light that's, like, pulsing, and it's, like, the mark of the forge, you know?
Black light puzzles are very, very common in escape rooms. And, yeah, to do something like that would be fairly simple. I had an idea. I kind of want to touch on it and see if we can figure out a way to work this. So in Trek, holograms can gain sentience. We know this. What if there was a way to work a puzzle so that the NPC is overridden the initial programming of I'm just Moriarty's, you know, butler, maid, whatever, and then that could be a way to gain more information about the room in general?
Or, yeah, because I could think one thing that you could do is, you know, and this we may have to move away from the example we're using, but we'll stick for it for now, though. I don't think it'll work well. But, and I'm changing it a little bit. So, like, the corridor is still Star Trek, and we still have that auxiliary room. And because I hate to keep making rooms, so don't make it too complicated. But maybe there's a portion of that auxiliary room that once you kind of get the holodeck working, becomes Moriarty-ish. And so you need to get her over here, but the holodeck emitters aren't working, so you have to find a mobile
mobile emitter
for her to get her, so she can then
I think you'd have to reconstruct it almost from the ground up, but I like the mobile emitter concept,
because that way it's another thing to search for.
My thought is
you need her help
when you're messing with isolinear stuff. Part of it could be for, like, fixing the system, but part of it could be to alter her program and let her have a higher... Basically, you're giving her a 24th
century like knowledge. Like,
rerouting the computer through the NPC.
So she becomes the computer interface.
Yeah, you're creating a local network.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very...
And then she's like, then you ask her, like, well, how do I reconfigure this panel to fix it? And she has to explain that in clunky... Elizabethan era, you know, talk, but, you know, I like that.
Sleep.
Okay. All right. I think, I'm sure there's more we can do. I think we're good. I think we need to go to now our complicated nerd Star Trek.
That all sounded pretty complicated, but okay. Let's go to Well, and that was my big question is how, I mean, I'm not trying to put like a budget or like a limit on any of us, but I'm like, how else would you do an escape room besides a holodeck without having to make, like, basically a set of half the ship? So I'm like, what other scenarios could we think of?
The Borg.
Your away team is trapped in a Borg cube. That'd be good. I was thinking even, like, you're in a Klingon battlecruiser brig and you need to make your way to the transportation room.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking,
because we did TNG, so then we'd have to figure out what other era we would like.
Was the DS9 episode where they're stuck in the mining part
ship?
And that was literally an escape room because Jake had to like climb up and over to access the panel, and it kept getting worse and worse.
Season two?
Yeah. Civil Defense, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's it, maybe.
Yeah, because they were... Because that was going on in there, and then on the ops they had...
That's a great episode,
dude, just
too.
Base it off. Yeah. And if we have hints of Civil Defense, the diehard fans love that because they know the episode, and they're rewarded for that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, and you could always do generic. You know, you don't have to be on the Enterprise or Voyager. I mean, obviously that would be more fun, but you could do sort of like stuck on a freighter or, you know, but of course there'd be lots of Star Trek references, but...
You could be on the Farragut, where nobody ever wants to be.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get killed by the Dominion. So.
You could even do something where it's like, you know, you're at Starfleet Academy and you're. This is a test.
Oh, like Wesley's
test.
Wesley's test. Where he has to save the guy from dying.
Or you could.
But I mean, there's also like, if you go TOS, they were always getting stuck in dungeons. Or like all the time, like all the time.
You're now a man zoo. It's always a man zoo.
Yeah, man
you know?
Zoo. But
and then DS9 has like a Dominion, prison camp or something. You know,
if we do TOS though, I mean, there has to be a puzzle involving Tribbles.
Yes.
Like you just open a compartment and like a dozen Tribbles.
Five
fall out.
Large Tribbles and four small Tribbles. You have to balance them on
these
scales.
That would be
the Squire of Gothos run one.
It would be amazing if you did. You open a cupboard and you know four dozen Tribbles come fall out, and you have to find which Tribble has something attached to it that
right.
you know has.
Or
like
it's the one that has the magnet in it that'll release the lever, or,
yeah,
or it's
exactly.
You know,
see, I can see because you said Q, but to make it TOS, you could do Squire of Gothos, comes back and revisits you and is now testing you, because then you could do anything.
Or what if you did like Trouble and Tribulations? One of these Tribbles is a bomb and you have to find it through process of elimination or something.
Yeah, I mean, because you could steal that whole storyline if you wanted, where you have to like find the Klingons and determine where the Tribble bomb was and all that.
I mean, that would absolutely cater to the hardcore Trek fans.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's even, it's like an escape room, but it's also playing part of an episode. Like that, who would not want to do that?
I'm down and I don't even know that much TOS. The only thing I know about that episode is from the DS9 episode that revisits it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, so you have that, you have Civil Defense kind of stuck in a room somewhere in Deep Space Nine, and then you have the Sherlock TNG. Are we just going through the different theme?
Apparently. Why not? Let's do them all. So what would be your Voyager one?
I mean, it would have to revolve
around
the
It's got to be
a
way to get home. That doesn't
work
out in the
end. Or a way to get
home.
That works too.
Yeah.
The doctor would obviously be involved.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
I'm trying to think.
I was thinking of those light people from the...
The photonic people?
The photonic people. It would, of course it would involve the photonic people from that one episode. Because
they're trying to kill you.
Captain Proton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be... How awesome would a Captain
Proton, of course.
I think we
yes.
found our theme.
Yep. Yeah. Captain Proton.
That would be so much
you have
fun.
To somehow get the, what is it, Satan's robot?
Satan's robot.
And that's the thing. Instead of having just some generic, butler
it's super
maid,
easy.
Satan's robot could be your guide through this.
So it's really fun. So you paint everything in shades of gray, like everything. If you want to take it an extra step further, you could supply the people going in with
gray
like either a jumpsuit or like an overcoat. That was because I'm like, obviously they're going to be the brightest things, and it kind of breaks the illusion a tiny bit, but it's not the worst thing in the world. But yeah, Captain Proton's defeat.
Yeah, because
Satan's
I can see
robots.
It because you could. I mean, not on the cheap, I'm saying, but Satan's robot could be, like, either, you know, like...
Well, Satan's robot's
model.
Pretty dang cheap. Like, it's just a barrel.
Well, but I'm saying, he wouldn't actually have to, like, you know, his voice could basically be the, you know, overhead voice.
Well, what I was just going
to
say...
It doesn't have to be a person in it, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I was going to say, and, you know, I'm sure Zach would
his
agree.
Power cells are, his power cells are down. He can't move, but he can talk.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to
you
activate
have
him.
To,
that's one of the puzzles.
You wouldn't have to hire somebody to sit in that. That could be the intercom comes from, and... You know, it could be slightly automatronic.
Yeah, you have to do something with the arms.
But otherwise, it could just sit there, and then you could ask questions. And it would be that whole thing where we were talking about before, where it's involved, but it only has a limited
understanding.
Ooh, I like,
because of, you know, you get him fixed, like, that's one of your things, but the power source only works intermittently every 15 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's...
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, yeah.
And so, and with the Captain Proton one, that would be slightly different in the fact that it's not Star Trek, in the fact that you're not self-aware in the Star Trekness, it's just you're playing Captain Proton, which is fine.
I mean,
it's like...
You could still have, I mean...
Now you're just on the holodeck.
But you could still have, like, you know, the voice of Janeway or whoever, pre-record, obviously.
Yeah,
you know, come
yeah.
across and say different things, you know. Or the sounds of, like, you know, Voyager at Red Alert or whatever.
You could still have that second layer, like that we were talking about before, where you break into that second room and it's the actual Voyager instead of the simulation. Like, so that whole first room...
During, like, the Hirogen, World War II, when you're breaking into other rooms...
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So the whole first room is just monochrome, and it's all black and white, and which would be interesting.
You break into Haven next. I'm kidding.
Sorry. Oh gosh, Fairhaven. No. Let's not
sorry.
Do that.
I'm sure there are plenty of puzzles, which would be made. I don't know if more interesting is the right term, but it maybe
would
more
definitely
challenging.
Be more challenging in a monochrome setting. I mean, yeah. Obviously, color puzzles are
that's
just
true,
right
you
out
can't
the window.
Find anything.
Shades
yeah.
of gray.
Yeah. Yes.
That's true, and it's also harder because nothing stands out. Everything disappears into the background, basically. Mm-hmm.
But you could then have some sort of a, you know, whatever is failing, and there are certain elements in that room that are colored
that can
and
be
you
colored.
Have
That's
to
true.
Kind of you have to understand why they're correspond or why these yeah. things have been chosen, why what they correspond to. You could play with it. I think there's a lot of fun you could have there, and some interesting puzzles that you could make. Like, oh, there's a blue thing here, and
there's
a
green
slightly
thingy
less blue
moving
thing
towards
here.
The blue thingy. And I think we're the
I
green.
Think we're the green thingy.
and you could steal from Bride of Chaotica, where there is an alien life form. You know, it's not just necessarily a hollow
right.
Deck
so the
failure.
Photonic life form. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So that you know that's
so it is a Starfleet mission. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And you could have first like contact. Random things like. Yeah, it's all Captain Proton, but there's a phaser on the desk for some reason, like a 24th century yeah. phaser. Like, mm-hmm. Why is this here? Like,
or a logic game where in order to communicate with the beings, you have to, like, you know...
Fix the universal translator.
Yeah, or something. But I can see, like, logic games, like, you know, they understand basic math. Do. You know,
but
translate
the
what they've just sent you.
It's to also reward fans. Not that you have to have an encyclopedic knowledge of Trek, but understand the gist of Trek to get... Like, you would get a lot out of it.
How it fits in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like I said, like we were saying, it's enough, like, Captain Proton episodes, or it's enough, like, the Sherlock episodes, that it's, like, you kind of feel like you're playing the episode, which makes it even more fun.
Okay. So, Enterprise.
What about the catwalk, where they're stuck in the catwalk, they can't leave, and someone's taking over the rest of the ship?
Yeah, I could see where you're stuck, and I don't know if this would work or not, Zach, but, like, you're stuck, and you do want to escape... But there's certain things you want to like be able to affect other areas of the ship, like in order to provide life support for this section.
Like literally yeah. just put them in a shuttle pod. Mm-hmm. Like that's like, again, it'd be a very different type of escape room because you're more like trying to find, it'd be very Star Trek-y, like you're trying to find.
Like,
a,
you know, you're affecting external things instead of literally trying to get out, but I don't know.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And then at the end, you find out you were back in the TNG escape room the entire time.
Oh.
Exactly. Ooh. This guy knows. This guy
okay,
knows.
So JJ, or Kelvin, or whatever Ooh, you want to call it.
Wow. Or Discovery. There's
well, that'd be different.
Do you know what I was... Yeah, and this would be a kind of an appropriate JJ one, only because they showed it the best, but making the Kobayashi Maru into Ooh. An escape room might be an interesting
I like
idea.
That.
So kind of bridge like simulator-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to get the power levels at certain frequencies to be able to, like, get target lock and then, right. you know.
So it's basically the Artemis Bridge Simulator at that point. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying that's
yeah,
bad.
Because,
I'm just saying
because,
that's
I mean,
that is.
The meta fact is that you're on a simulator in a simulator and that, yeah. you know, yeah, I know. And so, like, you're in the, you maybe have to, again, it's that concept I did earlier where, you're on plan A of Kobayashi Maruing.
Right.
And you know, you have to do X,
but then
Y,
the
Z.
The simulator's broken and you have to escape.
Exactly.
Ah.
And you have to get the cadets out before,
and there's an
you
apple
know.
Standing there for
some reason. I know, there has to be an apple.
Now,
it's not clue-related,
nope.
but it's there
for
you. And
if someone eats it, you get 10 bonus points to the end.
And if someone was smart enough to reprogram the escape room before they entered, they get accommodation.
Nobody was smart enough to reprogram the escape room before they entered? Now, Zach, you mentioned in one of your actual escape rooms that one of the persons was placed in a jail cell.
Yes.
So is there some examples where like they purposely split the party?
Split the party.
And so and so one person can only do a certain part.
Yes. So for example, in our kidnapped escape room, the person in the cell has a box on the wall beside them with a series of switches. These switches are numbered, and they have to determine which switches get flipped according to the numbers. The numbers are in a different part of their jail cell. So once they decode, oh, okay, I see that I have to, you know, flip these certain switches, they then press a button which activates a black light in a different part of the escape room outside of the cell that the other people then have to go see in order to decode
got
something.
So
that
they can't
work on.
They can't be benefited from that, but the group is benefited by
right.
What they
exactly.
Do.
I mean, it benefits them in the long run because that clue will lead the group to getting them out of the cell. So it's still a because constantly the question I will get when I tell people, hey, you got chosen, you're going to be the one to be put in the cell. People will constantly ask, me, I still get to play, right? Well, yes, of right. course you still get to play. We're not going to.
You're not the princess in the castle, the prize
exactly.
at the end.
You didn't
you know.
Just pay, you know, $25, $30 to sit in a cell for an hour. Like, right. you are still helping. Their first goal is to get you out of that cell. So, you know, ideally you shouldn't be in there for more than 10, 15 minutes, depending on how, you know, intelligent.
If we did something like that where we had, like, one person who represents, like, a Starfleet crew member who's outside the holodeck, who has access to panels and things that the people inside don't.
I was thinking for Discovery, because I'm not a Mara fan, but we can do that. Groan. But yeah. I was thinking Klingon. Prisoner, you know, someone's been taken, captured by the Klingon. That's going to be your one person. So they're in either the interrogation room. Because, like, everyone's been captured.
Rescue from the cell.
Yeah, but someone's, like, in the interrogation room by themselves or whatever. But, you know, they've somehow managed to, like, knock out whatever. You put it in the story. And then the other people are trying to get out while that other person is in this other room and et cetera, et cetera, for Discovery.
So basically, like, Lorca rescuing, you know, yeah, different people rescuing from the...
Because that could almost be, because it's Discovery, and I, you know, this is my backhanded compliment, you could do more of a horror theme. Like, you could take it, you know, a notch.
Well, that's how you know it's Discovery. There's, like, a dead Klingon on the floor, and it's all bloody.
Yeah, and then you can hear the screams from the other people being tortured, you know, next door. You know, there's, like I said, PG-13, you know. Up, or
don't
whatever.
Tickle me. It hurts so bad.
And then you have to choose your pain. No, I'm kidding. Don't.
Oh, gosh. I never want to play with you guys. You always make me choose the pain.
All right. That's cool. We have a lot of really interesting ideas. And we could probably take this a little further, and I imagine maybe we will in future shows and stuff, but, you know, just as a wrap up, what do you guys think? Would you be interested? How much, like, I would, like, love a Star Trek themed escape room. I would absolutely love it. And we've brought some things up here, but none of us, you know, spoilers, are professional writers. But man, if these people came out with something, come on, why I would buy into this so hard. Come on, man. Would you love to see a Star Trek escape room, or do you just hate Star Trek?
I was going to say, what kind of a question is that, Dad, Joe?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think obviously licensing is always going to be the problem, so it'd have to be CBS or blah, 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 blah. But anyway, no, nerds, you can gouge them for so much money. So yeah, you know, this is like $40 if it's like really like a hard hour and it's good Star Trek. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds
Or if you
like...
do a group rate, you know, we'll see what moves on.
So, Zach, is it usually like $25, $30 a person? That's kind of the – what is the market for escape rooms
right
now?
That's about standard. There are some that are a little bit more. There are ones around here that are $40, and I haven't been to any. But, we also offer Groupon discounts and things like that. But, yeah, generally the $25 to $30 range is about average. Our rooms are $30 as the standard price. And I mean, it's like Philip said, with licensing, we run into some tricky situations.
Well, I think in our minds, this is only for like Star Trek convention.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So
where
if
that's
it's,
not
if
as
it's,
much of an issue because it's not really.
Exactly. So if it's something sanctioned by CBS, then yeah no problem. Go to town. That's great.
It's gonna
Welcome
exist
to
for...
generic sci-fi escape room.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to exist for a couple of days for the con. Only the con people
You just pull
can
out
go.
Your thesaurus. Here is your translation watch.
Yeah.
Use your laser sword to defeat the Dark Lord. Yeah, pretty much.
There's no. It is generally pretty grounded, right? Like, you don't have any sci-fi themed escape rooms, right? Or are you aware of any?
I'm not aware of any around here. Do know that I think it was either in DC or somewhere in Kentucky, they did a Ghostbusters themed escape room.
Ooh.
And anyone who knows me, okay. and Darren can attest to this,
yeah.
My number one fandom ever since I was 3 years old is Ghostbusters. Had I known when and where this thing had gone up, I would have been on the first flight out because I love Ghostbusters that much. I have the uniform. I had the equipment. Unfortunately, I don't have the equipment anymore because I kind of fell out of doing the cosplay of it. But, like, there... One thing that I kind of wanted to touch on way, way back when we were talking about themes is the idea of an escape room is so universally, like, accessible is because there are just so many different themes you can tap into. There are video game themed escape rooms. There are, you know, like I said, Ghostbusters themed escape room. There's an escape room around here, which is Alice in Wonderland themed. And I had a couple of coworkers went to that and said it was awesome. There were things you had to do, like open little glass vials that say, like, smell me, and you would have to figure out what the smell is and associate it with a certain spot on a shelf or something like that. So just the sheer amount of theme work that you can do with an escape room. So, like, I personally, at our establishment, we have the kind of generic kidnapper escape room. We have the Pharaoh's Chamber, kind of like an Indiana Jones movie. You're in the ancient Egyptian temple, and you have to find the golden scarab. So it's kind of like the mummy, that stuff.
See, that's how you subvert copyright.
Exactly. And you just make it generic enough. And then we have our escape Dr.
Not
Death.
It's not a hat. It's a fez.
Hey, fezes are cool.
And so you can really sort of do any kind of thing. We're going to be opening up another escape room here in June or so, where the theme is going to be a vampire theme.
Ooh.
And so because we are also a haunted house, our location has access to these pre-built sets that are for the haunted house that we can just say, okay, here's our, you know, church scene. Here's our mausoleum. Here's our crypt. We can take that, rework some of the decorations just a little bit, add in the puzzles we need to add in, and then boom, you have a vampire escape room.
Not Dracula.
Not again. Dracula.
Copyright.
Generic.
Cool.
I imagine Dracula has to be in
in the public domain by now. Yeah.
Well, that Galaxy Quest escape
would be so down for that.
Man. Except for
the part where you have to go through that engineering room. That's God level.
Who wrote this?
Stuff.
Who designed this?
Whoever wrote this episode should be killed.
Man, it's so much fun. And for both Zach's continued employ and just to encourage people, please go out and do this. It is so much fun. And honestly, you are going to have, if it's $30, $40, you're going to have a great time. And I can't wait to go back. It is, well, the one thing is you can't go back and do the same thing because obviously there's no replay.
Yeah, unfortunately there is no replay.
But I cannot wait to go out there again with the group of people that I went with, or even strangers or anyone, just to go out there and have a good time. And we can only hope and cross our fingers and toes and everything we have that maybe someday we will see a Star Trek escape room. Let's hope. But this was a lot of fun. This was
A
tremendous amount of fun. So. Anyways, Zach, I know you don't have a super internet presence. Maybe you don't even want people to know where you are. But if people wanted to contact you about escape rooms, you have a Twitter handle or anything sort of thing?
I do, actually. On Twitter, I am at Zach Lavoy. Managed to snag that somehow. I don't know how.
Nice.
But if you have questions about escape rooms, tweet me and I can try and help out. I am one of the co-hosts of the Ranger Command Power Hour podcast. We talk about all things Power Rangers. By the way, how awesome would a Power Rangers escape room be?
I would love that. Yes, I would definitely get on.
And yeah, I'm just kind of all over. Escape rooms, you know.
I'm already hearing every 15 minutes, Rangers.
Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh,
Rita
so
has unleashed her monster on Andy.
You have
Rome.
To take the dino coins and put them in the proper sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that would be awesome.
I'm so down now. I want to do this. I want to figure out how to fund it and get the okay from Saban Brands.
So where can we find your indie fund?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, let me set up an Indiegogo. But yeah, I have a lot of fun with my job as an escape room game master, and I think, you know, if you're on the fence about, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I should spend that kind of money on an activity, I recommend it, yes, because I work in the field, but also, like, the job of a good game master is to make it worth your while. Be entertaining, be engaging, have, you know, jokes. And I will say that it's also a two-way street. You know, if you come into an escape room and you're just like, I don't understand why I'm here, I'm not going to have fun.
You got to invest.
Exactly. You have to invest, yeah. Invest, yep. Emotionally, and you have to invest your time. A couple of caveats. If you need social lubricant in order to have a good time, that's fine. One or two drinks. Please do not show up absolutely hammered out of your mind. You will not have fun. I will not have fun. It is not recommended that you come in and try and do these rooms under any sort of inebriation, because you will not succeed.
I was going to say, you said the easiest one was like 20%?
Yeah.
Like odds of completion?
Well, no, the,
like,
the easiest one is 32. The easiest one is
32. Oh, 32, yeah. That's not very good.
That's
odds.
Still not, yeah, exactly. That's not generous. I think there are some that have a much higher, you know, 40, 45, something in there.
But yeah, I do like the idea of a challenge. You know, every game shouldn't be easy.
Exactly.
To beat.
And I mean,
look,
you
we played video games in the 80s, people. We know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I give Darren and Philip, I'm going to say, 3 episodes until they have to do a challenge. Ooh, or an escape room.
The escape room challenge.
And, yep. So you guys go do it, because it is so much fun. And you can report back and tell us what you think. And how you think Star Trek would fit in that context. All right, Philip, if people wanted to get hold of you, how would they find you to say, Philip, go do an escape room?
They can send cheat codes to me at NC Public Servant.
And Darren, what about you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram under Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
You're a doctor, but not of escape rooms,
not
apparently.
Not yet. Give me time. Crash course.
And if people wanted to find me on Twitter, they can. At OneUpDan, that's the number one, not the word, as in I have the number one on the leaderboard in escape rooms in my area. That's not true. I wish it was true, but it's not true.
It means you've done one escape room, Dan. Yeah. I'll just admit it.
Yes, it means I've done one escape room. So, Darren, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're going to be talking about some good old classic Trek.
Okay. So TOS, we're going to talk about Chris Pike. We're going to talk about The Cage, getting us ready for Discovery Season 2. Is that what's going on?
Well, it's not going to be as fun as escape room banter, but it will be a lot of Trek goodness.
Excellent. So you can catch us all next week. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
And I'm out of here. My ship is leaving, guys. I gotta go. I can't
stay here. Oh, man. No, we have to escape.
No, sorry. It's a one-seater. Bye. It's a fighter.
So we are yet again stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.